I want to point them out for blessing us with their voice and leading us this morning. Elaine Schwartz and Diane Crocker and Colleen Schultz, thank you for leading us this morning. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're taking our journey a little bit further here on the third miracle of Jesus, the sign that he gives in John's Gospel. What an amazing sign this is, and a wonder. A man who has been paralyzed for 38 years begins to walk. Now, not only had he not walked for 38 years, but it's likely he had not carried anything as well. And so in this healing, not only does he walk, but he begins to carry something for the very first time. This is like spiking the ball after scoring a touchdown. This is like taking a victory lap after you've just won the race. It is incredible. But I think you all have figured out how I'm approaching these signs. Jesus performed them not just for the person in front of them. These signs are meant to communicate something to you, his followers. What would that be here this morning? Jesus, in this sign and wonder, is teaching us about where we can find true rest. How are you doing with rest and relaxation in your life these days? It's a challenge, isn't it? We know that we need rest. And it doesn't matter what age you are, rest is a challenge. Some of you are nodding your head and yes, saying, yeah, I'm having a hard time with that. Those who are in their youngest ages, school-age children, are struggling with this over the last couple years because they get a routine, and then all of a sudden that routine is changed. And another routine comes, and then there's another change, and it just becomes exhausting. Those who are in their middle ages, like my age, there are busy schedules. And when you do take a vacation, my wife and I look at each other and we say, we need a vacation from our vacation. That was really stressful. And those of you who are seasoned here this morning, boy, you know, seasoned, that's a positive word. Special, seasoned, flavored. From some of you I've heard, my goodness, I'm working more now than I ever did when I was working. Life can become very exhausting. And science says it, we're not resting like we should. Survey after survey throughout the country is relating that people are just not resting and getting relaxation and help. We know that we need rest, we just don't know how to get it. Reminds me of a story of a man that lived out in the forest, a remote part of the country. This man was a recluse. He was living in a wooden cabin out in a forest, far away from any kind of civilization. The only thing that he had with him was a radio, and that radio had music, but it also gave the weather report for what was coming in the days ahead. And on one particular early fall morning, the weather report came to him as he was sitting in his cabin that a terrible snowstorm was coming his way. And it frightened him for a couple reasons. The blade on his saw was dull, and he had not cut enough firewood for the winter season ahead, and a terrible snowstorm was coming his way. Day one came before that snowstorm came, and instead of pausing to sharpen the blade of his saw, he went at work chopping the wood. And by that end of that first day, he was absolutely exhausted. Day two came. And instead of pausing for a little bit to sharpen the blade of his saw, he went at it with even greater effort, chopping wood to get as much as he could before that storm came. And by the end of the second day, he was even more exhausted than the first day. Day three came, and he heard over the radio that the snow was going to be even worse than what was first expected. But instead of slowing down and sharpening the blade that day, he went at work exhausted. And by the end of the third day, he found himself in a terrible position. The blade of his saw was fully dull. He had not cut enough wood, and the snow was falling outside. And I like to share that story because I think it does relate well to the topic of rest. I think we all know that we need to pause and we need to get rest, but we don't always do it. We exert ourselves and we get to the point of exhaustion. And we get to the point where we really can't work at all and do those normal things that we'd like to do. You know, my friends, even when we get to the point, even those things that the world tells us to go to get rest doesn't always help us. Isn't that one of the points here in our text from John chapter 5? This man that had been paralyzed had been told by those around him that if he would be the first person to get into that pool and dip himself in, then he would have health and restoration, and he could have rest finally for his soul and for his body. Now, by the way, there was good reason for this man to believe this. Advanced Bible study information here. This pool, there's been archaeological evidence that this pool absolutely did exist. It's on the northern part of the city of Jerusalem. We think the name of the pool was Bethesda, but there's variants on that text where the name might have been Bethsaza. We don't know the exact name. We know this pool existed. It's interesting. This pool is a large pool, about 400 feet in length, 200 feet in width, and about 50 feet in depth. This was a deep pool. Down under that pool was a subterranean stream that brought in waters from another place. And when the water from that stream mixed with the water in the pool, you see, the top of that pool would bubble up. Now, in Jesus' day, whenever there were physical happenings on the earth, there always had to be a spiritual connection to what was happening. And the ongoing thought was that what was happening was that the angels were coming down from heaven and swirling around that pool. Further, anyone who got into that pool right after those bubbles appeared, that person would be fully restored and have full wholeness and rest. Now, that's the background to this text. Now, when we hear that as modern readers of this Bible passage, we might think, how ridiculous is that? These people had this idea of getting rest in this way? Come on. But my friends, what the world tells us, how the world tells us to get rest doesn't always bring it to us. I'm going to relate that in a real way. My wife got me this watch that I'm wearing this morning. This watch does a lot of amazing things. It tells me how far I walk every day. It tells me how far I run. It tells me all sorts of things, all sorts of bits of information. It's a Garmin watch, by the way. But it also has a whole bunch of features that tells me how to rest and relax. I didn't ask for those things. There is a monitor on here that tells me how many breaths I take per minute. There's a monitor in here that tells me how stressed I am. It vibrates and says, Jeremy, you need to take a break and chill out. It doesn't say chill out, but it essentially says that. I don't know why she got me this watch. I'm wondering. You know what? With all those features, it stresses me out even more. Because you know why? The watch never says, you're relaxing right now. Never has it said that. It's always telling me that I've got to rest and always relax. And it's a reminder to us, and so is this text, that just because the world comes up with inventions or amazing places to go to get rest and relaxation, it doesn't guarantee that we're going to get the full rest that we need. Sometimes even turning to religion for rest, sometimes that doesn't give us the full rest we need either. That's also in this text, by the way. I want to speak to that. During this time, the Jews had a very strict understanding of how rest would come into someone's life. In fact, many people still operate this way with rest and work. And their teaching was this, that for 6 days a person would work, and then on the seventh day they could rest. Makes a lot of sense.